Good day, Vernon Alliance. I trust that you've had a fantastic week. And before we dive back into our Turning a Page series, I just want to talk about a couple family items that I need to highlight. First of all, let's talk a little bit about reentry and the possibility of gathering together again as a church family, at least in some form. We have received no word yet from our friends at the provincial government on how or when we can begin church services in person. So we are, behind the scenes as a staff, working on a plan that would include the relaunch of our services, including kids ministry. And as a team, we believe that we can be ready to go within 10 days of a green light announcement from the health minister. But until we hear something, at least for the weekends, it's status quo. And I would just ask that you pray with us for the permanent retreat of this virus. Ultimately, I think we need to pray for the big picture, that God would remove this from us so that we can reconnect with one another, not just for church services, but in the thousand and one other ways that we need to operate as the family of God. And for sure, some of that would mean that we get to see each other and meet together face to face, both in this facility and in homes, parks, coffee shops, whatever, around the city. And if you're interested in helping us with some of the practical jobs that need to get done in weekends, we would love your help. And please reach out to us. Maybe the easiest way you could do that is just email us, info@vernonalliance.org. And Jocelyn, she's looking for things to do. She would love to like direct your email to the right person. So please reach out, and we'll get back to you in ways that you can help us in terms of weekend ministry anyways. Secondly, in terms of family items, I just want to let you know that the Board of Elders and I have approved a sabbatical for Dwayne Boyd. Dwayne has served you as a pastor in various roles for 10 and a half years now, if you can believe that, in all kinds of capacities, and most recently, as you know, as your interim lead pastor. And I'm sure you'll also agree that he has guided Vernon Alliance through one of the most challenging years in its history. So I just want to say from me, thank you, Dwayne and Donna. Sabbaticals are opportunities for pastors to step away from the demands of church ministry in order for the pastor to recharge and retool, revision for the season ahead. So Dwayne's sabbatical combined with his vacation time for 2021 will begin on April 5th and conclude in early October. And his formal plan to the board included times of spiritual refreshment and interior work. Dwayne will be working on some education and the ordination process with the Christian Missionary Alliance, as well as some holiday time that he and Donna will adapt depending on travel freedoms and limitations that develop in BC this summer. So on the one hand, I am actually a little bit nervous to lose Dwayne's expertise and support so early in my tenure here, and so I'm feeling a little vulnerable. On the other hand, for Dwayne's sake, I am so glad that the board has given the green light for this. I know that he could use it. And so I would just invite you to pray with me, along with the board, that God will use this time to recharge he and Donna's batteries and sharpen them for the next season of their life and ministry. And of course, if you wanted to reach out to Dwayne directly, thank him for some of the things that he's done and served you in this past year, I know he would love to hear from you. So that's the business. Let's get to work for today. And before we do that, let's just review where we've been over the past couple weeks together. 2 weeks ago, we reminded ourselves of where we are in this grand scheme of God's story. And what we established was that we are living somewhere in between Jesus' redemptive work on the cross and out of the tomb, but we are before his final restoration of all creation. And if that sounds overly complicated, I just invite you to go back to the archives a couple of weeks ago and have a look at our teaching there. We said that we all hope that we have hope that the decisive victory against all that's wrong in the world has been won by Jesus through his death and resurrection. And yet, even though we have that hope, we groan as the effects of that victory are not in our time fully realized. Jesus has not yet returned, and so the lingering effects of sin are here, even though, maybe just like now at the end of February, there are signs of spring. And so our experience as a church family will have a mix of both of those feelings: hope, new life, change, suffering, disappointment, challenge, difficulty. We get both sides of the picture. And then last week, I took a little bit more of an autobiographical turn as I shared a little bit about me and my calling to serve God's family as a pastor and how he's brought me specifically to serve Vernon Alliance at this time. And I've challenged you to consider some of your own sense of call and how God has spoken to you lately, and to bring other people into that conversation. And I've heard from some of you about that. I encourage you to build some of that out in your life these days. So to today, as we consider turning another page in the story of Vernon Alliance, I want us to get to the core of my understanding of what churches, of indeed individual Christians, of what we ought to be about. And I want to try to answer the question, what is it exactly that we are supposed to do? What are the key components that ought to make up the day-to-day routines and priorities for Jesus followers? And maybe bigger picture, what priorities ought to drive the ministries and activities of Vernon Alliance as we go into the future? Services ought we to provide, and what should we promote? And I think those of you who tracked with Vernon Alliance this past fall may remember a series that the team did called Inward, Outward, and Upward. I hope I've got the right, maybe the order is wrong, but I think up, in, and out is a very useful paradigm to help answer the questions that I'm asking today. If I could make a bold statement, I would argue that Jesus himself actually knew something about up, in, and out. And to prove that, let's look at an episode in his life which can be found in your Bibles in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And I invite you at home to turn there in your Bibles or your apps. If you are not using a digital version of the Bible and you'd like to find one, I would just commend to you the YouVersion app as a great Bible reading and devotional app. If you don't have it already, you can download it in the Google Store or the App Store on iOS devices. And it's probably one of the most comprehensive Bible apps there are, and it's free. So check it out if you haven't already. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Now, while you might think that Luke is describing a random day in Jesus' life, I would suggest that there is actually more going on here, and that what unfolded on this particular day was really just a snapshot of the pattern by which Jesus lived his everyday, day-to-day life. This day, this pattern of living brings out those three critical relationships that Jesus prioritized, that I think, for the sake of remembering it, that we could maybe plot on a triangle. As you're going to see, I'm not much of an artist, but to help us remember how Jesus lived his life, maybe a shape would help us. And by the wonder of technology, I'm going to try to plot this out on my computer. Tyler Lewis, who makes all kinds of magic happen behind the scenes, he said that this is going to work. And you should send Tyler an email, because he does a lot of stuff that goes unnoticed, and you know he is a guy who prefers to be unnoticed. But I just need someone to blame if this doesn't work. So Tyler, here we go. If we were to draw a triangle, and my geometry teacher taught me that that's what it looks like, we could say that the upward dimension of Jesus' relational life could be drawn at the top. You know that Jesus prayed regularly, often retreating, as described by Luke here, to quiet, secluded places where he could pray. We know that he was a man of the word, deeply familiar with the scriptures of his time. He developed a very personal, intimate relationship with God, which really informed his identity and gave him a framework for all of his activity. In fact, Jesus claimed that everything he did was really just a reflection of what he saw his Father doing. So Jesus habitually invested in his upward relationship with his Heavenly Father. But that wasn't the only relationship that Jesus had. He had a crew, a posse, a small group, some hombres, a group of friends or disciples that he drew into his inner circle. And my daughters are dying that I just actually said the word hombres. But we could use the word in to plot that part of Jesus' relational life with his disciples. And you see that described in that section of verse 13 to 16 where all the guys are named. Jesus invited people into his personal space. If you read the same story in the book of Mark, Mark says that Jesus chose 12 people simply so that he could be with them. He spent time with them, he built relationship, he lived out his calling along with a small group of people who saw him do it all, saw his inner thoughts, were with him in the high times and lows, and supported him in his adventure. It wasn't so much seminary, it was just life together. So, up, in, but it wasn't just God and Jesus' buddies. He was willing to go out and see his calling out in the broader context, out in the world, and we'll just call that out. Jesus recognized that his Father's mission was to bring life and good news, not just to the disciples, but to everyone around him. And so he walked among the crowds. He deliberately brought himself into contact with the people around him. And he ministered to them at their point of need. If they had physical needs, he fed and healed them. If they had emotional needs, he brought them comfort. And he taught them the good news about God's mission to seek and save the lost, and invited them to receive life in his name. Again, Jesus was out in the world on mission to the people around him. So, up, Jesus' relationship, nurturing that that vital connection to his Heavenly Father. In, Jesus developed meaningful, supportive, and transparent relationships with a close group of friends. And out, serving and bringing good news to those around him who were open to receive it. Now, here's my pitch. I would argue that this pattern, these three relationships, they aren't just recorded in the New Testament as information. Jesus is modeling the kind of life and relational priorities he hopes to find in us, his disciples today. And by extension, I think that his example should drive the kind of corporate life we will have as a church. Jesus invites us into a three-dimensional life, not just a monodimension where we just focus on, you know, our close friends or just relationship with him or just doing stuff, but a three-dimensional life that goes out in three directions. Up, we cultivate a rich, invigorating relationship with our Heavenly Father, from whom our identity and purpose and energy flow. In, we are to develop rich reciprocal relationships with brothers and sisters who know us. We press one another to grow. We are known by them. We receive support from and offer it to one another. And of course, out, we cultivate rich, meaningful, reciprocating relationships with people who are not yet a part of the community of faith, where we know others and allow ourselves to be known by our neighbors. We engage in our workplaces and our play places. We participate in the life of this community. And as we do, we serve people at their point of need, physically, emotionally, spiritually. All three dimensions are critical for every Christian and every church. Okay, that's a pretty big claim. So let's just test that theory out, right? Because if it's right, then we should see Jesus' followers living three-dimensionally once he was no longer with them physically to model the way. Can we see all three relational dimensions evident in the life of the early church? And so to test the theory, let's go to the mother of all Bible passages which describe the life of the earliest Christians, and you will find that in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. This is a description of the church in Jerusalem within a year, within months of Jesus returning to his Father after the resurrection. And let's just listen to Luke, same guy who wrote our original passage here. He's going to describe what life was like for the early church. Acts 2:40. With many other words, Peter warned the crowd that was gathered there on the day of Pentecost when this happened. He warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They, that is the early church, these new Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, are all three relational dimensions evident in the life of the early church? Well, I think so. Up is certainly there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to regular participation around the table, and certainly there was worship going on. There is certainly evidence of in the New Testament church. These people are together often. They are feasting all the time. They take care of one another's needs. The church was much more than a group of individuals or individual families who happen to go to the same building once a week for an hour and a half. Because of their shared life in Jesus, they were a family. And I think there is plenty of evidence in Acts chapter 2 of the out. We see the leaders of the church preaching the good news. We see the people living it. There are baptisms going on. People are giving to others in need in their city, and people are coming to Jesus on a daily basis. So I think we can clearly see in Acts chapter 2 in the early church all three dimensions of relational life present in that community. So many of you, at least the ones I've had a chance to see and meet or engage with online, or some of you in person, some of you have been asking me, you know, Jason, where are you taking Vernon Alliance Church? What's the vision? What's important to you? Well, I have lots of ideas, and I'm sure that we will try lots of stuff. But I am convinced that my own personal life and the life of Vernon Alliance Church must be governed by these three relational priorities. I, as a pastor, must cultivate my walk with God. I need to connect meaningfully with other Christians, not just with like a group of 800 or 1,000, but with a few people who know me and I know them. And I believe that God is calling me, regardless of my profession, to get out there and bring good news to the people I live and play with and get to know in my neighborhood, my kids' schools, whatever I'm going to be doing. And as I come to lead in the future, Vernon Alliance will help people cultivate their walk with God, the up. Vernon Alliance must help people do the in, helping you, helping us, helping new people who will come into our midst, helping everyone meaningfully connect with others who want to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And Vernon Alliance Church must enable its people to bring about, to speak, to model good news for the people of this valley. Now, there are no amens going down in this room right now, but I trust that maybe there are one or two at home. Before we do a little bit of personal reflection here, let me warn you about a temptation that I think many pastors and many Christians face when it comes to living in all three relational dimensions. The temptation will be for us to make a church service, a weekend gathering, a one-stop shop for all three. Here's what I mean. We can see the weekend, whether it's Saturday night or Sunday, whenever for you, as a time when you come into a building, you shake hands with the greeters, you say hello to some of your friends as you're coming in or leaving the service, and you chat for a few minutes with a friend or two, and boom, in, check, I've got it, I've done it for the week. And of course, when you come to a church service, someone like me is going to read the Bible, and you're going to get a sermon from me or somebody else, and we'll say some prayers, and once a month we'll celebrate communion together, and of course we're going to do lots of singing. So for sure you've got your up fix for the week as well. I've connected with God, check. And then from time to time, you know that we'll do special services here. Maybe at Christmas or Easter, we'll have a special time where you can invite your friends to come to church, or we'll take up some offerings where we can give the money to good causes which serve the poor and support missionaries who will do the out for us. So out, check, in, check, up, check. Well, look at that. You know, once a week on a Saturday night between 6:30 and 8 p.m., you've got all your core practices down. You've done your workout, your spiritual workout at the gym for the week. You're done. Back to real life, right? Well, maybe. And worship gatherings do keep us tied to these three priorities. And if you're new in your faith, exploring Jesus, being part of Sunday morning, Saturday nights is a fantastic way to begin practicing your scales, getting your feet wet with these three relational priorities. But I hardly think that just doing all three for an hour on the weekend is what Jesus had in mind for us as he laid out his example. While Sundays and Saturdays can indeed help us do the basics, I would suggest that being a Christian will mean practicing up, in, and out in your day-to-day life, in your regular routines, in your friendships with fellow Christians, as well as in your relationships with other incredibly interesting people at your workplace, at the gym, on the golf course, and in your neighborhood. The weekends won't do. So, where are we going as a church? Well, we're going up. We're going in, and we're going out. We will press upwards into a deeper relationship with our Father, our Savior Jesus, and in the life of the Holy Spirit. We will press deeper inwards, cultivating rich and meaningful relationships with one another, and we must get out, bringing the life and light of Jesus Christ into every nook and cranny of the North Okanagan. And my call, Vernon Alliance, to each one of you in the coming years will be to work with us to intentionally develop your up, your unique in with some specific people, and your unique out to our community and our world. We can help, but we certainly can't do it for you. So, that's the theory, that's the talk, and man, can pastors talk. But maybe it would be helpful for you right now to use this triangle paradigm to evaluate your own life. How's your up, your in, and your out right now? Which one of these are you maybe naturally strong at? Where's the weak link? What might God be calling you to do about that? Not someday in the future, not when the pandemic ends, not when everything gets back to normal, but this week, what might God be calling you to do as you lay this paradigm over your life? Who cares about the theory unless it has some bearing on what's going on in March 2021? And so what I want to do is give you some time right now to reflect. If you're on your own, maybe take out your journal if you've got one, a piece of paper, and I want you to do some writing. If you're with someone, you certainly have some opportunity to have a conversation here. And if you're part of a small group, maybe fire up the Zoom right now and have a chat about your small group and up, out, and in. You have my permission to sneak out of the service and have a conversation, because we'll never know whether you came back for the benediction. But I just want to give you some time right now to engage with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take 5 minutes for some reflection. Ask yourselves and your friends or the small group that you're a part of, your spouse if they're in the room there, which relational dimension or dimensions are healthy in my life right now, which dimension is anemic, and what is one thing that God is calling me to do about it this week. Reflect, and we'll come back in about 5 minutes to pray for you. All right, I hope that your reflection, maybe some discussion, was profitable for you. Let me pray for you and for the life of our church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And as we get to Easter time here, we're going to particularly celebrate his work on our behalf, what he did on the cross, how he rose to life to secure our victory. But we also know that Jesus didn't just come to like do those things. He actually modeled the kind of life human beings can have that are fruitful, productive, and redemptive in the world around us. I pray for us as individuals that you would help us have robust three-dimensional lives. Show us where we're doing well and how you might want to grow us, particularly in maybe one of these dimensions that is not naturally strong. And I pray that it wouldn't be just a theory, but that we would begin to advance, maybe in small ways, but ways that we think more robustly about how we're living our lives. And by extension, I pray for us as a church, as we are talking about the next chapter, the next page that you have for us as a church family. Show us where you want to go. Show us the specifics, the unique ways that you want to use our church family, what you want to do in us. But in some ways, I know you want us to use these scales as we play our own music. These priorities, we're just called along with all Christians around the world to develop our relationship with you, to have good fellowship and relationship with one another, and to serve the world around us. It's not rocket science. But show us how you want us to do that here in Vernon at this particular time in this particular place. Would you bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and give us creativity and passion to do it? I pray for those who today might be struggling wherever they are. I pray your Holy Spirit's presence on those folks as we don't get to be as connected relationally as we would like. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Vernon Alliance, upwards, inwards, outwards, let's go. May God bless you.